Today's message and is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the last chapter in the book of Matthew. Matthew 28 and beginning at verse 16. So Matthew chapter 28 and beginning at verse 16. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Y'all did that so well today, too. Thank you. This scripture and the part that I want to focus on more than anything else is the very last line, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, how many of you have been to a carnival and you've been to one of those haunted houses? Have you ever been to one? Yes, me too. It's been a long while since I've been to a haunted house. I don't care for them. I mean, I know you put one together, don't you? It's not really a haunted, is it? I mean, is it a little bit? Okay. All right. He puts a lot of creativity into it. You got to invite me over to that one time, you know? You'll have to do that. All right. But anyways, I remember going to a haunted house when I was an adult and thinking, I'm not really scared, you know. But I remember when I was little and we had the carnival at Flower Branch in the main street downtown where the railroad tracks and the caboose are and the stuff. And they had a haunted house there. You know, this was in that time frame where, you know, parents would, this is 50 years ago, basically, parents would go to an event like that and go, "All right, head on." And, you know, I'd find some friends and I'd walk around by myself and hang out with some more friends for a while. And nobody ever thought anything about it because pretty much most everybody knew one another or knew of one another and trusted that everybody kind of watched out for everybody. And I remember spending probably about 2 or 3 hours just kind of roaming around on my own and finding friends every now and then. I even won the last cakewalk for the night. Got a big old chocolate cake. And I was so proud to walk up back up to my parents and find them and say, "Look what I won," you know. But there was this part where they had the haunted house, and I decided to go through it by myself. It was not good. No, the haunted house probably was good, but it was scary. And I just remember just wanting to get through it. I was so scared, couldn't find my way, you know, was worried about running into this wall and that wall or having something come out and kind of try to get you. And I was so glad to get out of there. But I was just like, I don't ever want to ever go back to another haunted house again. I just don't like being scared, really. But how much better would that have been if I'd had a friend with me? If I had somebody walking with me or my mom or dad with me or sister with me, how much better I could have gone through something like that, do you see? I think that's where this scripture is about. We're all going to go through difficult times in this life. Everybody, if we're old enough, we've gone through experiences that can be devastating for us, that can be heart-wrenching, maybe even doubtful times in our lives. And how much better it is knowing that someone is with us is comforting, isn't it? That a church of believers comes together to support one another. A family member, a spouse, a husband, a wife, you know, is there alongside of you when you hear devastating news. Friends in the church. How much better it is to go through this life with people next to you. I don't mean you have to live in the home with you, but, you know, people that you rely on and know and help you through difficult times. And celebrate with you during great and wonderful times. You know the story, the poem, Footprints in the Sand? Y'all recall that? Well, in that story, the person who wrote it is writing allegorically, really. And so they're talking about how when they walked in this life and there was Jesus' footprints and their footprints as they walked through life, and there they walked side by side with one another. And then the person noticed that, hey, when something bad happened in my life, I noticed that you disappeared, God. You weren't there. And the response in the story goes like this. Listen, those are my footprints. I carried you through that difficult time. That's when I carried you. Folks, that's how we need to see God and how God wants us to see Him. As one who will carry us along and is always with us. You see, this scripture isn't told to us, and almost 56 other times in scriptures reflected in this same kind of capacity. I am with you. I am. I am with you throughout the age. I am your comforter. On and on it goes in scriptures, Old and New Testament. All of this is done to affirm once again that God is indeed with you and me. He never abandons us. If we get to a point where we are anxious or filled with anxiety or doubt or whatever, we just need to know God hasn't left you or me. He's still there encouraging us, being a witness to us, being a support to us. We just have to open our eyes and our heart to see that He's there with us through it all. When I was about, a little bit younger than these two over here, these little ones, I guess it was around Christmas time. My parents carried me to the Woolworths or whatever it was called. They don't exist anymore. And kind of like, I guess, Kmart and Sears. Does Sears still exist? I guess they do. Yeah, different capacity, you know. But I remember looking at the toys and walking through the store, and I gathered the, you know, thoughts about Christmas. It was on my mind, and toys and stuff. And I walked to the cash register, and I went to hold my mother's hand. And as soon as I did that, I knew instantly it was not my mother's hand. I was by some strange lady who immediately took her hand and went whoop like that. And I looked up and I immediately felt lost. Lost. Now, I come to find out later that my mom was looking on the side and watching what I was doing the whole time. And so I wasn't ever in any danger or anything, but she's just sitting back there going, what's he going to do? You know. Of course, I look around and I'm in a panic mode, but that doesn't last too long. You know, that's never going to happen between us and God, folks. If we feel abandoned, it ain't on God's part. It's because we're not listening to Him. He is there with you through everything. He was there with these disciples through everything that they would endure. And how wonderful that is for these disciples. Every one of them would be persecuted. Now, we hear these days in Nigeria that 75% of all Christian persecution deaths, martyrs in the world take place in Nigeria. 75% of all of them. Now, these are people who don't have weapons to return fire. These are people when Boko Haram and the Muslim extreme groups, and I hate caution about saying extreme, they want to destroy Christians. That's part of their plan. We'll go in and slaughter a whole village, just shooting them up, using machetes. And you'd see images that are disturbing to you. Not just graves that are filled with people, but the deaths that occur. These disciples, every one of them knew that they would be persecuted for following Jesus. And for them to hear these words, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age," that it's recorded here, says the significance upon this author of what Jesus said and how it probably played such a big part hearing this time and time and time again from Jesus for when they would go through persecution to know that they were not abandoned, but that Jesus was there with them. The Holy Spirit was there with them. The Father in heaven was there with them. Now, they weren't persecuted because they were a follower of Jesus. Now, there may have been that time where, "Hey, Peter, I saw you talking with Jesus, therefore, you know, we're going to put you in jail," that sort of thing. No, they weren't immediately executed for following Jesus. This came some years later. And some that were hung upside down on a cross until they died, were killed. Some who were ran through with a pole. Gross, isn't it? Horrible death. Some shot with arrows. Only one of these 12 was exiled to Patmos. He somewhat got away with persecution in that sense, but he was exiled. Why did all of this happen, and why did it happen, you know, later in life? They spent this time doing what, this whole time? Teaching, preaching, bearing witness of Jesus Christ. If they just stayed quiet, none of that would have happened. Just stay quiet. Follow Jesus internally. Say you love Him. You know He's your Savior. And what would happen? No, they probably would have gotten along and nothing bad would have happened to them. But you see, they chose to never shut up. They chose to bear witness of Jesus Christ and to preach and to teach and to build the church, even in the midst of great persecution. That's why Watts, the theological seminary in Nigeria, is sending hundreds of seminary students into violent areas. And some of them are being killed. But they're doing so because they believe in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What a wonderful witness that should humble us. When we do not worry about someone doing that to us here in this place. The faithfulness of these disciples also serve as a proof, if we can call it that. But it's a proof of our resurrected Lord and Savior. This is it. Why would they go to that point of persecution except that they believed and saw that Jesus was persecuted, died on the cross, was in the tomb, and was risen from the grave and was made visible to them with the wounds in his hands and in his side and ascended into heaven? This is the evidence and the proof that they were willing then to go forth and sacrifice even their lives and not be quiet, but sustain the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around them. And that is the challenge for us as a church. That we too are willing to bear witness in our own living the good news of Jesus Christ, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the events, regardless of the persecution. That we are willing to do so because we believe when Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, mind you, I believe that these disciples, as they reached their last moments of life and they were being persecuted or hung upside down or whatever happened to them that brought about their death, in those moments they probably felt very alone. And then they recalled these words of Jesus. And I believe that seeing all of what happened to Jesus and his power of resurrection and power over sin and death, that they too knew and succumbed in that moment that Jesus, they were not alone, that Jesus was with them. And that's what our hope is too, isn't it? Now we see that take place in our church. We see that take place maybe through your husband or wife or through a great friend. But this, that Jesus is with us through all things, whatever that difficulty may be that comes in your life. I am with you is what was said to Moses to tell the people who he is. Tell them, "I am has sent you." That's his name, I am. And so this, when he says, "And surely I am," is speaking of himself as God. God is with you. One throughout the ages. So this isn't something just new. But it was even from the very beginning. When Adam walked with God and God walked with Adam, it explains to us our relationship with him. And that I am is a comfort to us because I am is with us. Now this week, we heard in our news this week of, of a self-professed Muslim in New York City and a democratic socialist who was elected mayor of New York. Some people have said he's a communist, and I'm not sure if that fits perfectly because as a communist, they deny the existence of God. But just less than 25 years after 9/11 and the terrorist attacks in New York and other places of America, the city elected a Muslim. As a result of this election, there is at least one video of persons ripping down the American flag, multiple American flags, in support of the new mayoral elections, that somehow change has been brought That person is most likely an American citizen. But tearing down the American flag doesn't align them with those same values, you see. Tearing it down says it's a repudiation of those values. When we say, and God says to us, I am with you always to the very end of the age, also means there's a requirement on us to want to be a part of God Himself, to align ourselves with His wisdom, with His word, with His love and His grace, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. To align ourselves with His righteousness and not the world's viewpoint. We are no more aligned with God and claim God is with us if we in turn do not like the things of God. There is no redefining or reshaping to fit our own narrative and story. We must submit to God's will and His way of righteousness. Now, this is where God's grace and mercy come in. But at the same time, we want to be a part of His will and His righteousness. Since we're discussing veterans this week, I want to speak to you about a 99-year-old veteran who fought in World War II. Now, it's not a veteran of the United States, but a veteran of Great Britain. 99 years old. So probably in about 1943, he was fighting in World War II. So during some of the most horrific battles. And now keep in mind that much of Europe, not all, several countries did not allow a great influx of Muslim persons to come in. But as a result of ISIS and all that, there was a great influx of countries taking in Muslims in the hundreds of thousands and even in the millions. Great Britain is one of these. And now you can see in London and other places, their mayors are Muslim. Now, he's seen the difference that has taken place in his nation, and I don't think it has anything to do with race or anything like that. He says his nation has changed, it's different. And this statistic alone should shock you and me. That before the influx of migration of Muslims from Syria and other Arab countries into Great Britain, there were approximately 2,000 rapes a year to take place in Great Britain. That's horrific on its own, isn't it? What it is today is this: 35,000 a year. That's just in Great Britain alone. And this is because of deeply held beliefs where the Muslims are not coming in to assimilate, but they're coming in to set up Sharia law. They're coming in with the same idea of saying, we can treat the infidel however we want to, and that's acceptable and okay to our God. This is where this 99-year-old veteran says, it was a waste. Now, he's seen the horrific deaths that occurred in World War II of his friends and colleagues. He saw them maimed. He saw the wounds. And now, 99 years old and looking back, he's thinking, what did we do? This isn't what we fought for. And the surprising thing is that the people who complain in Great Britain against those that are doing the raping and the horrific acts, they're getting more prison time than the ones who are actually committing these acts. That's the absurdity of it all. Folks, this is where we get to where Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. We do not know how this nation will be 10 years from now, 25 years from now, 100 years from now. It could be way better than it is now. It could be way worse. I'm not trying to throw out any doomsday fear in you. But I am saying to you, we need to have the same boldness and courage that these disciples did to not shut up about the good news of Jesus Christ. I know that sounds kind of crass, my saying it that way, but not to be quiet, to share the good news, to stand up for the good news of Jesus Christ in every place, in every church, in every community. And we have that responsibility right here. Right here. Thank you for that amen. We need to do that right here. And to know that even if we go through persecution for doing so, we're not alone ever. For God has said, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we face many things in this life. We may face battles of health. We may face spiritual battles. We may face battles in our business and wherever. Lord, remind us that our faith holds true forever. And remind us that you are with us always, and let us be faithful unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.